is there restlessness in your life? There was a story in the Winnipeg Free Press, this is back September 21st, about an advocate for suicide prevention who herself committed suicide. She said, our communities are deprived of our young ones, and the future are dying, she said, unnecessarily. She got so depressed. Her son had committed suicide 10 years earlier, and she had worked for 10 years to save the life of others and to prevent suicide, and she got so depressed. She said, I just want to sleep. I just want peace. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Now, this is what the Bible says. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Come to me, all you who are burdened, and I'll give you rest, the Bible says. Are you empty tonight? Have you thought about suicide? Have you thought about if I could just have rest, if I could just go to sleep and never wake up? Well, here comes this guy down the road to see Jesus, and he's empty, something's missing in his life. And he's worried about eternal life, and he's wanting to know what one thing does he have to do so that when he dies, that he will be in the presence of Almighty God for eternity. He wants to know, how can I be sure? And that's a question maybe you've got here tonight. Maybe you've come tonight because something's missing. Oh, we've got a bee up here. That's a yellow jacket. I didn't know you all had yellow jackets, but guess what? I'm going to kill a yellow jacket. Just kill me. Now, I hope there's no yellow jacket lovers up here, because if you are, you can come get me. Is there an emptiness in your life tonight? Do you want to start over again? I'm here to tell you that God loves you, and that Christ died for your sins. The Bible says we've all sinned, we've all come short of God's glory, that the wages of sin is death. Now listen to this. All of us have sinned, okay? You have sinned, I have sinned, all of you up there, with those three exceptions, you have sinned. Those of you out there in the overflow, you have sinned. The Bible says all of us have sinned, and we've come short. We've fallen short of God's standards, okay? And the Bible says that the wages of sin, now this is the penalty. The penalty of breaking God's law is death. Now this is separation from God for eternity, spiritual death forever and ever and ever. That's the wages of sin. You're under the sentence of death. There is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Sin is breaking God's law. And you say, Frank, what do you mean by breaking God's law? Well, murder is a sin against God. Now this young boy didn't commit murder. But there are people in an audience like this, I guarantee you, that people here tonight that are guilty of murder. You say, oh, come on, we don't let murderers out of jail. What are you talking about? Well, abortion. Now this is probably not a politically correct topic to talk about. I'm here to be honest. I'm not here to play games with you. You may be here tonight guilty of murder. But listen to me. Listen. If you're here and you're guilty of abortion, I want you to know that God loves you and God will forgive you tonight. He'll cleanse you. He'll set you free. He'll take the guilt, the shame. He'll restore you. That's the power of the cross. Jesus Christ will forgive you tonight if you're willing to come to Him by faith. A number of years ago, I was talking to a reporter, a lady, and she'd been interviewing me for several days for a magazine in the United States, and she said, she was asking me questions. I found I got tired of answering her questions. I needed to breathe, so I thought, I'm going to ask you some questions. So she put her pen down like she was going to be polite, and she said, okay. I said, where do you stand before Holy God? Are your sins forgiven? Are you set free from the guilt and shame in your life? And her eyes began to fill with tears. I said, did you know that God loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you? I said, have you ever asked Christ to come into your heart and into your life? She said, no, I haven't. I said, would you like to do that? She said, I would. Now, she writes for a prominent magazine. I said, well, will you pray this prayer with me? She said, I will. So I bowed my head. She bowed her head. And I said, dear God. She said, dear God. I said, I'm a sinner. She repeated it after me. Same prayer I had with you in a few moments. She said, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. And she repeated that. I believe Jesus Christ is your son, and I love inviting him to come to live in my heart and my life. She repeated that after me. After he said, amen. And she looked up at me and she got real intense. She said, I have to confess something to you. And she got real, kind of almost into my face, like this far away from me, right like that. She said, 20 years ago, I found an abortion. Will God forgive me for that? Every day I wake up and that child is on my mind. Every night when I go to bed, I think about what that child would have been. When it was 16, I thought about it would have gone maybe to the prom. God has driver's license. And now it's been 20 years and it's haunted me. Will God forgive me for what I have done? I said, he just did. He's forgiven me. He's forgiven me. 5 years. Just 5 years streamed down the cheeks. And she felt released from that sin. And he will do that for you tonight. Adultery. Let me say something about sex. God gave sex, okay? He invented it, all right? It's not dirty. It's a wonderful thing. But God gave it to a man and a woman to use in a marriage relationship, and a marriage relationship only, period. It's not to be used between two women. It's not to be used between two men. It's between a man and a woman, not outside of a married relationship, but in that relationship. All right? Now, for you in the overflow, and for you, everyone in this arena, there are many of you here tonight, you're guilty of sexual sins. God will forgive you. If you're willing to come to Christ tonight, confess your sins and repent. And you know what repentance is? It means to turn. And that means you'll have to leave that sexual relationship. That means you'll have to leave that boyfriend or that girlfriend or that adulterous relationship or that homosexual relationship. That means you leave it. That's repentance, to turn from it. And if you come to Christ tonight, and if you're willing to repent and turn from your sins and by faith receive Christ into your heart and to your life, God will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He'll take the guilt and the shame out of your life. That burden, that millstone that's around you, that load of bricks that you're carrying, the guilt and shame, he'll take it tonight. You'll be set free. Isn't that cool? You'll be set free tonight. You can leave this arena free, forgiven, cleansed, with that assurance that you're on your way to heaven. Now this young boy that Jesus talked to, he wasn't guilty of adultery. Stealing, taking something that doesn't belong to you, is a sin against God. Dishonoring your parents is a sin against God. And there are many of you today, young kids, you aren't honoring your parents. That's a sin against God. And it only takes one sin to keep you out of the presence of God for eternity. It only takes one sin to separate you from God. And we're all guilty. Every last one of us were guilty. Giving up false witness is a sin against God. Bowing down to idols is a sin. Now, we're getting into the area where this boy had a problem. Money was his idol. He worshiped his possessions.